This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, I don't know about you, but with all the festive eating and drinking and, well, rather too long partying or being cooped up in front of the telly, I really do look forward to getting outside into some fresh, chilly air and enjoying a brisk festive walk. So I wanted to explore with you today a bit more about some of nature's winter wonders, something seasonal to look out for, even just in our own street, our local churchyard or our local park. So let's find answers to these Christmas quiz questions. Why is mistletoe, once a rarity in Hertfordshire, suddenly so much more common? Are robins really the faithful garden companions that we think they are? And when is Gull O'Clock? Well, who better to help us with all this and more than Tim Hill of the Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust? And let's start with mistletoe. For most of us, it just appears in markets at Christmas, but what actually is it?
Mistletoe, well, it's quite a common plant, more common than we originally thought. It's a parasitic plant, and it puts its root into the branches of other trees. And how does it get to those trees? Well, you may have seen that the berries of mistletoe, they're white, they're quite fleshy. And birds such as mistle thrushes, and they get their name from the mistletoe, really do like them, particularly in wintertime when other foods are scarce. So they eat the fruits from the mistletoe. But the seeds within the fruits, they're actually very sticky and not so palatable. So what happens is the thrush tends to take the fruit off and then it wipes the sticky seeds onto the branch of another tree. And it is very sticky. And from that, the seed then germinates and it sends a little root down into the branch of the tree. And over time, obviously, grows and grows and grows. And it takes all its goodness from the host tree and can grow and grow into pretty huge bunches.
Yes, you do see some quite big bunches around. So it does actually have some value for wildlife. The birds are obviously finding these berries quite tasty.
They do. Thrushes particularly, so mistle thrushes, as I mentioned, but I've also seen one of our rarer winter visitors, the waxwing, feasting on them as late as March. So yes, particularly that fruit, they do provide an important source of nourishment in the winter for our birds.
Now, I kind of have this idea that I never used to see much in the way of mistletoe, but it seems to be a lot more common now.
Yeah.
Is that the case and do we know why?
It's very prevalent. I'm not sure whether we know whether it's declined or increased particularly. All I do remember is back in the 1990s, concern was raised about its distribution and how common it was. And so a survey was done in the late 1990s nationally. It was a citizen science survey. But it was inconclusive as to whether there was a decrease or an incline because at that time there was no other baseline to help with that. But in Hertfordshire, coming closer to home, University of Hertfordshire followed on from that sort of national survey and they did a bit of survey and found it actually to be quite widespread in the county. But, you know, you will go in places and you just don't see it. But there are other places that it just stands out in the wintertime when all the leaves have come off the trees. These huge bunches of mistletoe really do stand out, particularly with that low sun that we get,
yes.
The silhouette of them.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And where in particular is a good place to
see
it?
Well, Panshanger Park and the Mimram Valley, that's where I would head if anybody wants to go and see it. Panshanger Park's a wonderful place for all sorts of other things, but some of the biggest bunches of mistletoe you're likely to see. And also Hatfield Park as well. There's a lot there. But also there are places, I drive down Sandpit Lane in St Albans and some of the lime trees there, you can see mistletoe on it as well. But perhaps it's something to do over the Christmas holidays, get out and try and find your own mistletoe.
Yes.
Have a kiss underneath it. Yeah.
Oh, sounds like an excellent idea. Lovely. So let's move on to ivy now. And it's another plant that relies on trees. Is ivy parasitic like mistletoe is?
No. So ivy, it's rooted. And if you have a good look at any tree or building, with, you know, it is dependent on a root which it sends down into it. But it is a climber, so it needs something to climb up, and be it a tree or a building. But I have to say, cards on the table, ivy is one of my favourite plants of all. I know it gets a bad name in some places, but for me, it just, throughout the year, provides a fantastic resource for wildlife.
Indeed. And what's it doing for wildlife at this time of year in particular?
So this time of year, all the fruits are just maturing, and it provides a wonderful food source for the thrushes. So blackbirds, song thrushes, mistle thrushes we mentioned earlier, but a really important food source for our migrant thrushes as well. Redwings, field fares, they'll all get stuck into it. Wood pigeons, they'll take the food from it. And it also provides roosting spaces. So at dusk, if you watch your local green space, you'll often see birds just disappearing into it from about 3:30 onwards as they look for a warmish place to spend, you know, that 15 hours of darkness that we have at this time of year.
Oh, OK. So perhaps we need to exercise a little bit more love for ivy then. It sounds like it's actually quite a resource that nature appreciates.
I certainly love it. And for me, it's a winner all the year, because in addition to that cover which it provides right through the year, holly blue butterflies, they lay their eggs on it in their second brood. So in the summertime, you'll often see holly blue butterflies. They feed on the buds and the flowers of ivy. And also, once you get into September, when it's really at its peak of flowering, they are just covered in hoverflies, butterflies, red admirals particularly. And you know that goes right the way through to the end of September. And then the fruits start developing then, and then we come right through to the Christmas time. Things and small mammals will take them as well. So, you know, wood mice and that sort of thing. And I know that people are worried about it climbing up their buildings, but there was a study by the University of Oxford commissioned by English Heritage, and they actually found that it protects buildings as well. It doesn't damage buildings. And it has all sorts of benefits, you know, keeping pollution at bay, keeping frost at bay. And they found out through this study that the building itself was 15% warmer in winter because it was like a blanket on the building, so it kept that frost at bay, which does a lot of damage. And in the summertime, the buildings were about 36% cooler.
Well, that sounds like a bit of natural insulation for a house.
Exactly, like a big duvet on your house.
Lovely idea. So let's move on to the last of the festive plant trio, the holly. And does holly play an important part in our Hertfordshire landscape? I seem to see quite a lot of it around.
It is. The only place it's really missing from is right up in the north of the county, where you've got those sort of boulder clay and chalky soils, which it doesn't seem to like quite so much. But it's present in our hedgerows, it's present in our woodlands, it forms scrub layer itself. And it does provide that really important cover for roosting animals, or animals that lie up during the day, such as deer. So it does have that important layer within the woodlands to provide that sort of thing. And of course the berries themselves are a very important food source, just like I was talking about the ivy fruits as well, and particularly to those thrushes again, they particularly like it. And I mentioned redwings, so these are birds that come into our country from Europe to escape harder conditions further north. And as we go into the sort of Christmas period, any big holly bushes with fruits on it, you will almost guaranteed to see these beautiful redwings, which are some of our most attractive thrushes of all, really. And if you're very lucky, you might get the odd field fare as well, but they're a little bit more shy than the redwings as well. So yeah, very important. Cover and fruit are the things that they provide.
Wonderful. Well, having those kind of birds in our garden is absolutely fantastic. And it has to be said that I quite often think with the holly tree in my garden, oh, lots of berries on, that'll be lovely for Christmas. But then they've disappeared by the time it gets here, yes. Which is good, because it's nice to know that wildlife has found a use for them. Mm. So we can't really talk about nature at Christmas without talking about robins, can we?
No,
I mean, we love them. We love seeing them in our gardens. And actually, they're always there. So I assume they have some affinity with us as well. Why is that?
Well, I think robins aren't particularly shy birds. So, you know, we do associate them so much with our gardens. And when we're gardening, you know, sometimes they will come and they'll literally pick up worms and things from where we're digging away in the soil there. Just one of these less shy birds. Interestingly, if you go into Europe, that's not the case. So you can go into Europe and they're a shy bird, and you certainly won't see them as easily as we do here. But there's something about the fact that they've become less shy here. But I think it's interesting that one of the things from ringing studies has shown is that, you know, we tend to talk about our robins in our garden, you know, because they're just there all the time. But the bird that is in our garden in the wintertime is probably a different bird to the bird that's in the summertime, because they are migratory as well. And in this country, we get a huge influx of robins from the continent in autumn time, coming from Scandinavia down, landing in the East Coast and then moving their way through into Hertfordshire. And those birds are coming again to escape those harsh conditions further east and further north. And it's been found also that birds in Hertfordshire do migrate further south. So there's this constant movement. So our summertime robins may well be replaced by birds from Scandinavia coming down and through. So yes, we get a turnover of birds right the way through.
So the robin I have in my garden now is an imposter.
Maybe.
Well, isn't friendly robin
well
from the summer.
Well, it depends. You know. Welcome. Make them welcome. They've come a long way. So at least we can do is make them welcome.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is indeed true. And am I right in thinking that robins are bucking the trend of ecological decline and actually are quite a good news wildlife story?
Yeah, well, they're present everywhere across the county. And between 1994 and 2012, when the breeding bird survey was done, they actually increased by 20% during that time. So they are a bird that's doing quite well. And that may well be because they adapt to so many different habitats. Now, you will see them in the wider countryside. You'll see them in gardens. They're one of these birds that seems to be able to cope in a variety of different places and make the most of it, really. And, of course, they are pretty bolshy little birds as well, to be fair. So, you know, they really do stand their ground.
Indeed, they definitely do, don't they? So we've got a little bit more time over the festive period. Have you got any suggestions for some nice wildlife walks that we could do around Hertfordshire?
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, we are a busy county, but we have got some beautiful places. I mean, Herts Middlesex Wildlife Trust itself has over 40 different nature reserves that are worth seeking out. But there are some things, I think, just to look out for that you can in your own street, in your own home. So one of the things I particularly enjoy seeing in winter months is if you go outside your house at about 8 o'clock in the morning and look upwards, you're almost guaranteed to see a few gulls flying overhead. And if you go out again at around about 3:30, you'll see gulls flying overhead. In the morning, you'll probably see them heading north, and in the evening, you'll probably see them heading south again. And these are birds that are very probably roosting at Hillfield Park Reservoir, which is a nature reserve which is owned by Affinity Water but managed as a nature reserve by Herts Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And it's the only gull roost in Hertfordshire now. So we did some counts last winter, and there's anything up to about 11,000 gulls roosting every night on the reservoir. And of course, gulls need somewhere safe to go. So they literally land on the reservoir and they just bob around for 15 hours, you know, during the nighttime. And so it just provides that service to gulls pretty much all the way across North London through Hertfordshire. So I tend to describe as gull o'clock when these gulls are going overhead, because you literally can almost set your watch by them, because they are, certainly where I live in Harpenden, they're going over any time from about 8:15, and then from about 3:15 they're heading back the other way. And it really sums up the importance of some places in the county. You know, so Hillfield Park Reservoir is a huge body of water, secure from any sort of disturbance. And that's why gulls will travel huge distances to use it. And when they leave the reservoir in the morning really hungry, they're going out to the fields. And like so many of our birds, you know, they're looking for worms and grubs and beetles and everything like that. And then the only other big roosting place in our patch is down in the Lower Lee Valley at Chingford, again, where there are big reservoirs there. So if you're over in the east of the county and you see gulls heading south at dusk time, they're probably heading down to Chingford.
Oh, wow. Do you know, I have looked up and thought, gulls, what are they doing there? Always flying quite high straight across. Now I know.
That's it. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's just a lovely sight. I love the way that they drift through the sky during those winter times.
Yes.
Don't seem to be any sort of hurry, but clearly they know where they're going.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. One more thing for us to watch out for.
Yes.
We're outside.
What we're finding at the moment from the records is that it seems to be a hawfinch winter. Now, I don't know whether you've seen a hawfinch. They're one of our rarer finches. They're a large finch with a huge bill. And that bill is really designed to crack open cherry kernels, so they feed on cherries quite a lot. But every so often, we get what we call a hawfinch winter. And this seems to be a hawfinch winter, so there's been a lot of birds coming in off the continent from Scandinavia and Europe, started turning up back in September, October time. In their wintering life, they seem to really like the fruits on yew trees. So if I could suggest to anybody, a good thing would be go out to your local churchyard and seek out those beautiful big yew trees and just stand and watch for a little while. And certainly a few years ago when we had the last hawfinch winter, St. Michael's Church in St. Albans, there's some beautiful big old yews there. And we had one or two hawfinches there for most of the winter. And they're stunning birds. And the fact that you can't see them very often, it's worth going in seeking them. But yeah, everybody could just seek out the local churchyard and see if they can catch sight of a hawfinch. That would be a good thing to do.
Some great suggestions there, Tim. I am going to be looking out for those. Well, thank you very much indeed for joining me today, and I hope that you get to enjoy some festive wildlife this year.
Thank you very much.
A big thank you to Tim Hill of the Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And if you'd like to turn your mistletoe sightings into important citizen science, then you could take part in the Tree Council's mistletoe research. It's easy to do via their Mistle Go app, and I'll make sure I put the link that you need to find out more into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So do tell me about your festive wildlife sightings via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix926 on Twitter and Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.